because they can't see Jesus, but they can see Jesus in you. You ought to live so somebody can see Jesus in you. See, these are tough times, and these are troubled times, and these are busy times, and the economy is messed up, and you got to go up there and buy some $4 gas. That's all right. Go buy your $4 gas. You ain't got to tell them what you're adjusting on the other end, because God is still providing. All right? Now, let me help you with a fair adjustment. I don't mean go get you another credit card either. That's not adjusting. Uh-oh. Turned the corner on somebody. They thought, well, so he got my time. So now they sending me these notices. I can just go with me another credit card and move it on over there. That's not adjusting. That's foolishness. Adjust. Adjust. What did I say? Adjust. So what you going to do in these glory, in these times that we're living in, then God want to move you so that you can be the example to somebody else that they can hold on. See, poor folks have to buy gas too. Rich folks got to buy gas too. If you got an automobile, you got to buy gas. So the gas price for the rich is the same gas price it is for the poor. Right? But, watch this. But, when you drive up there, and you're not rich, and you can fill your tank up just like the rich make fill his up. And the other folks on your level is looking at you, and they say, how can you fill your tank up? Well,
thank you for tuning in to the Telling God Us His Goodness broadcast. We pray you were inspired, blessed, and encouraged from hearing the Word of God today. If you would like a copy of my book, Telling Us His Goodness, you may phone me at 318-305-6965. You may like me on Facebook, connect with me on Google+ or Twitter. May God bless you until we meet again at the same time next week.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's gonna be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel. Transmitting all day.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I...
God is my everything. Praise the Lord. Would you stand on your feet and turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Verse 3, Luke chapter 18, verse 3. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you now for the privilege of hearing your word. Meet us in the text, tailor the truth that we're teaching, that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say to them. Now, God, we give you praise, glory, and honor even in advance for the principles that we shall learn and practice. And God, when we profit from them, we shall again give you praise. It is in Jesus' name we pray. And the people of God said, amen. God bless you. From Luke chapter 18, verse 3 says, and there was a widow in that city. And she came saying, avenge me of mine adversary. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, you can't fix what you can't face. You can't fix what you can't face. My brothers and sisters, there are a whole lot of us who have experienced life on one level or another. One reality is that those things that we have experienced in life that has hurt us the most, haunted us the most, are the things that we have not been able to face. We can look truth in the eye and turn away because it requires something of us to make a change. A lot of folk don't want to admit, nor do they want to acknowledge that there is a problem, a situation, a circumstance going on in their lives or in their homes or in their circumstances, and yet it is plain as day that there is a problem there. One of the things that I've discovered that the enemy causes us to miss God on most often is the fact that we allow fear to keep us from facing the reality of our situation, not altogether recognizing that what is now can be changed. You might be in a bad situation now, but it doesn't have to stay bad. You might have problems and troubles right now, but it doesn't have to stay that way. When you learn how to do something about your situation, and you've got to take responsibility. Matter of fact, most of us here today are in the place we're in or the predicament we're in by reason of our own choices. Would you say amen to that? Amen. Now, you can blame somebody else. You can point the finger at somebody else. You can always say someone else is the cause of the reason why you don't have or even why you do have. But I need to say to you that you are a part of that whole scenario. And most times we leave out us when it comes to those things that just aren't right. Jesus starts off in the first verse telling the parable, and he says that men aren't always to pray. Some folk have misconstrued this understanding and said that we should pray the same prayer over and over, when men should pray, meaning always, meaning that there should not be a continuation of the same prayer, but in every situation, every day, in every circumstance, we should communicate with God. Now, one of the things that you've got to know is that God is not hard of hearing, and he's not deficient of understanding. And therefore, when you tell God something, you don't have to tell it to him over and over again. God hears us according to our prayers being prayed according to his word. One, when we pray a prayer that's in the will of God and we petition God, the record is that we know he hears us. And if he hears us, he'll answer us. Well, David also said, if I regard iniquity, vainness, foolishness, and nothingness in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And so it doesn't really matter how much you pray the same non-believing prayer, just because you say it louder, just because you say it longer, just because you say it over and over again, doesn't mean that God will hear you. As a matter of fact, when Jesus was talking to the disciples, he was saying, listen, don't be like the Pharisees who love to stand in the marketplace, in the corners, love to pray public prayers, but in essence, all they're doing is praying to be heard. And some people pray simply to be heard, not to really get a prayer through. And there is a difference in the prayer when he or she knows the Lord and knows the word and pray according to that word. Verse 2 goes on to say there was a judge in that city. He didn't fear God, nor did he regard man. In other words, he wasn't scared of God. And as the old saint says, he wasn't studying man. He wasn't even worried about his feelings, how he felt, what they thought, or any of that. He was wrapped up in himself. The power that he had to make decisions was wrapped up in himself alone. Verse 3 says, there was a widow in that city. Now, what's important to understand as we look at this word of God, I want to share with you three things that you've got to do to face your problems, your circumstances, your situation. The first thing you need to do is acknowledge you've got a problem. You see, most folk don't get help because they won't admit they need help. They'll say, no, I got it. I got it. I'm doing this. I'm this, that, and the other. But they won't acknowledge they need help because they figure to help them means that they can't handle the situation by themselves. Can I tell you there are just some things God did not intend for you to handle by yourself? Some of us think that we're less of a man or less of a woman because we need some help every now and then or someone to support us, but that's not so. God never intended for us to be an island unto ourselves. You need me. I need you. We need each other. And so the first thing is, if you're going to face whatever you're going through, you've got to acknowledge it. So many people, lives, families, finances have come to ruin because they won't admit they've got a problem. People talk about other people's children. Let me say it like I feel it. Other folks cheering. And got some of the most ungodly children under their own roof. They can talk about your children, and they can talk about your husband, they can talk about your this, your that, your other, and can't even see the problem they've got underneath their own roof. They won't acknowledge they've got a problem. You can tell something is wrong. Everybody sees the change. But then, I don't care what the situation, what area, what arena it's in, if you're going to do anything about the problem, you've got to first acknowledge you've got a problem. This word also connotes that not only must you acknowledge you've got a problem, but you've got to assess your problem. You've got to look at your problem, look at how long you've been having the problem, where the problem stemmed from, what's keeping the problem ongoing. You've got to look at that problem inside and out, determine who can help you with that problem, because the person must be capable and appropriate to help you with it. Listen, you don't go to the dentist for eye surgery. You don't go to the podiatrist for heart surgery. While they're all doctors, they all specialize in different areas. And so when you've got a problem, listen, you need to take it to the appropriate person. Yeah, you've got issues. They tell you, don't take the law into your hand. Call the police. Call the law. Because even though you're right, when you take it into your hand, then you become wrong because you're not abiding according to the law. there are appropriate people to handle your problems. When you've got a situation, whatever it may be, when you assess the situation, then a part of that assessment is in understanding, who shall I take this to? And then the third thing about facing whatever it is you want to change in your life is you've got to act upon what you've assessed and acknowledge. You've got to take action. See, one of the things that some of us will do is get to point one. Yeah, he is bad. Well, what you doing about it? Well, I'm praying for him. Well, prayer is good, but there are other things that need to go along with that. And you need to put all of those things. And so when you assess it, you do it. But many folk might know what to do and still don't do it. But I don't want them to get mad, so I'm not going to say nothing. Well, I can tell you things won't change because you won't take action. Situations don't just work themselves out. You've got to work them out. If you can't face the issue, you can't fix the issue. And some of you are living lives right now and you're so messed up in your life all because you're too afraid to face the issue. Listen, you've got to know things won't get better until you face up. But you're going to do hurt any more than you're already hurting? Why are you going to stay in the storm any longer than you have to stay in the storm? Deal with why you're dealing with what you're dealing with for any longer than what you, and then deal with it in the same way that you did, because you can't face it. You've got to act upon it. And here we see this woman taking again the steps of action. Well, to fix something, you've got to have a plan. Face it, we've told you what you need to do, but now to fix it, what do you need to do? You've got to have a plan. Tell somebody you got to have a plan to fix it. Yeah, whatever it is you're going to fix, you got to have a plan to fix it. One of the reasons why it may not be fixed right now is because you ain't had no plan. How are you planning to fix this situation? Well, I don't know. We'll get you a plan together. Listen to this. This woman planned to go see the appropriate person, the judge, who didn't fear God and regard man. She was going to see him. The Bible says, verse 3, and there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, the only one who could do something about her situation, saying unto him, avenge me mine adversary. Protect me. Deal equitably with me according to my offender, to the person who's done wrong to me, harm to me. Fix my situation. And the word was that she was a widow. Husband was dead. No record of her having a son who could step up and handle her situation as a son would do. No record of her having a daughter who would be there to support her and be a part of her support system. She was by herself. But she had gotten to the point where she was fed up with things being as they were. And she went to the judge and she said to him very simply and clearly, avenge me of mine adversary. Sir, fix my situation. I've been done wrong, and I need to bring this to your attention so you can handle the situation lawfully. And the Bible says, and he would not for a while. And he would not for a while. Well, now her plan was to go to him, but listen at this. She had planned to see him, and when she would see him, that her situation would change. So listen to this. Sometimes you don't have a plan B, because a plan B don't work in your situation. In other words, it's all or nothing. And there are times in life when you get to a point in place where it's the right thing or it ain't nothing. It's all in or all out. There are no backup plans. Sometimes it's just this way or no way. And her plan was to go to him and to him only and to get her situation fixed. So now she goes to him. She makes clear. She pleads her case. And when she does, he's not moved by her situation. And the Bible says, and he would not avenge her of her enemies immediately. It says, but afterward. But afterward. How many of you know that God can work on your situation when you trust and have faith in what you believe? But afterward, he said within himself, I don't fear God. I don't regard man, but this widow troubleth me. I will avenge her. Listen to this. He's going to do it because she won't leave him alone. So the next thing I need to point out to you is not only must you have a plan, but you must be persistent in your pursuit. You must keep on keeping on until you get what you went there for. You see, this was the parable that Jesus was trying to get, that we would be persistent in our prayer life, not to continue praying the same prayer, but being continual in our prayer life, in our prayer communication, in our sharing with him and telling God what it is that we have need of, what it is we desire, so that we will know that even if he doesn't answer us right now, oh, folk, put it this way, he may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. And this woman, listen, it does not say, and she prayed again. The word says, verse 3, that she simply said, avenge me of mine adversary. And that's the last thing you hear her say. But listen, her persistence was the thing that changed his mind. He wasn't scared of God. He didn't care nothing about man. But this woman bothered him. She bothered him because she believed so much in his ability to avenge her that she couldn't go nowhere else but to the one who could fix her trouble. And so every morning when the court room was open, there as he sat in the judge's seat and looked down, guess who he saw? This widow woman. And he go calling the dockets and having every case brought before him, and this day was over with. He closed court up, go home, come back next morning, guess who's sitting in his court today? That same widow woman. He'd go through all of his docket and go through all of that he had to do today, caught everything that he could catch, and yet that woman was still there, and she never said another word to him. But when he didn't acknowledge her, when he didn't do anything about it immediately, she said, well, I'll be back tomorrow. And next day came, she was sitting right there in the court. And she kept on sitting there, not saying another word. But her presence spoke volumes. It meant she was serious and sincere that she wanted him to avenge her of her adversary.
She wanted him to take care of her problem. He had the power, and she was going to stay there until he did it. And the man was troubled. Look at the Bible says, at her presence. She troubled him. Troubleth me. That phrase meant her presence was continual. Troubleth me. He says, but I'm going to do something about it. I will avenge her adversary. But it ain't because I'm scared of God. And it ain't because I regard man. It's because this woman is getting on my last nerve. She just won't give up. I can't stand to see her in my courtroom another day about this same situation. So I'm going to fix it so she'll leave me. She didn't say another word to him. But when she showed up, it spoke volumes. Persistence in your pursuit is powerful. See, it lets you know that you're serious and sincere, and it let others know that you mean what you say. Your talk is one thing, your walk is a whole nother. Persistence. How many times have you seen a beautiful woman with a severely unattractive man? I'm trying to be politically correct. And you say, how in the world? And you can't figure it out. How that happened. But I can promise you, without knowing him or his name, that I can tell you a part of what he brought to the table was persistency. He saw what he wanted, and he wanted what he saw, and what he saw was available, and he was available, and he pressed his case until she heard it. Oh, he didn't come talking all that junk and that trash about I can turn the gray sky blue. I can make it rain whenever I want it to. Oh, I. Can build a castle with a single grain of sand. I can make ships sail. He ain't come on with all that foolishness. But he might have said something like, you are so beautiful to me. And she like, ooh. And he just kept saying the right things. He kept doing the right things. He'd get there before she would. He'd open up the door. He'd call just to check, say, hey, I just wanted to check on you, see how your day doing. Didn't have to ask him for common courtesies. He was a gentleman. And she started liking that kind of treatment. And she finally said, well, I'm curious. I guess I'll give him a chance. And because of his persistence, he won her heart over. Because after all, she had had Mr. Good Looking. And Mr. Good Looking thought he was so good looking that he was better looking than her. He spent just as much, if not more, time in the beauty chair at the nail salon, shopping, looking and doing good, thinking he, well, if she asked for a mirror, he taking more time in the mirror than passing it on. She like, no, it was all about him. She said, I've had enough of that kind of treatment. I want a real man who can love a real. Y'all know something out there, y'all getting. And a real man and a real woman know it ain't all about what you see in the face. And that's wonderful. That's a plus if they're pretty on the outside, but they've sure enough got to be beautiful on the inside.